Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
The third Aliyah in Parshas Devarim, the third Aliyah in this week's Parsha, Parshas Devarim, Shabbos Chazayin, this is always the always our Kriya, always our reading right before Tisha B'Av. And this year, to some degree as well, we're focusing on the third Aliyah. This year and next year, as well, a little bit into the fourth Aliyah, we have the retelling of the story of the Meraglim, the story of the spies. And it's such a significant thing that this is what we read right before Tisha B'Av, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Mm-hmm. We know that, the story of the Meraglim happened on Tisha B'Av, and Chazal tell us, Atem bechisem bechia shalchina mani akbal ochem bechia l'dairis. It says later in the Parsha, Atashuvu latifu lifnei Hashem, you cried before Hashem. Hashem said, you cried for nothing, and I will establish for you a bechia l'dairis, that for the generations you will cry, you will weep on this day of the ninth of Av. You cried for nothing when I was there ready to take you into Eretz Yisrael, and you were crying, being fearful nevertheless, even though it was ready to go, ready to happen, but you cried, and now I will establish for you on that night, at that time, a Bechiel Adairis, cries for generations, where heaven forbid you will be crying, which is what we experience, where we cry on Tisha B'Av because we can't go in, because we are absent from Eretz Yisrael and absent from the Beis HaMikdash. And here, Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, speaking to the Jewish people towards the end of his life, he's giving them to some degree, as Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Devarim, words of rebuke, words of encouragement, and at the same time going over, beginning the process in Sefer Devarim of going over some of the story of our lives as the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. And in the third Aliyah, it moves to discuss the story of the Meraglim. And there are things which we learn here in this story, which are presented here in this story that we don't find presented in the other accounts, the other account of the story of the Meraglim in Parshas Shlach. I would like to focus with you tonight on part of the presentation, and specifically we'd like to start with and focus a lot of our discussion around a Rashi, which will serve as a trigger for us to understand, I think, a little bit better the fundamental point around which Klal Yisrael struggled, around which we, the Jewish people, struggled when it came to the sin of the Meraglim. And it's a real point. It's a point which is alive, and I guess we could say for us as well. The Jewish people go, they send spies, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, that sends people to go and see where we should go exactly in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it was good in my eyes, I took 12 people, 12 Anoshim, 12 significant people, I sent them, and they went and brought back from the fruits of the land, and they said, the land that Hashem is giving us, it's a good land. But you refused to go up. You went against the word of Hashem, your God, and you went, and you were all stewing and saying negative things in your tents. You said, it's because Hashem despises us that He took us out from Mitzrayim. To deliver us into the hands of the Amori, the inhabitants of Canaan, to destroy us. How can we go up? Our brothers, the spies, they melted our hearts, they weakened our resolve, saying, this is a bigger and mightier nation than us. Big and fortified cities. We saw giants there. We're never going to be able to do it. And I said to you, don't be afraid. Don't worry about them. Hashem, who's gone before you, He'll fight for you like everything He did for you in Mitzrayim before your eyes and in the Midbar, how He's carried you like a father carries his son through all of your travels. But you didn't trust Hashem in this matter. Hashem, who's going before you, is taking care of you. And Hashem got upset and He pulled back. He said we wouldn't be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So we came up with this idea. Hashem hates us, and that's why He took us out of Mitzrayim, in order to deliver us into the hands of the Amori, Lahashmidenu, to destroy us. So listen to Rashi. B'sinas Hashem Aysanu. V'hu haya ayev eschem. The truth is Hashem loved you. He loved you. Avol atem seinim aysay. However, you hated him. Moshal hedyet. Aymer madabalibach. Arachmach madabalibayalach. What you feel about your friend is what he feels towards you. Meaning, what the pasuk calls kamayim panim al panim, what psychologists call transference, you sort of go and you project your feelings onto somebody else. You said Hashem hated you because you in fact hated Hashem. Hashem didn't hate you, Hashem loved you. But because you disliked him, because you hated him, I shouldn't mince words, because you hated him, therefore it says that you projected that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated you. We hated Hashem. I mean, I'm not going to ask you, Hashem hated us? Hashem didn't hate us. Rashi says Hashem didn't hate us. It was just we were putting it. But we hated Hashem? Why did we hate Hashem? Why would we hate Hashem? Fair question. I mean, he did take us out of Mitzrayim. He relieved us from slavery. He did us some things. So again, if we put this in, and if Hashem, let's say his intention was to kill us, so then of course for all those things we could still hate him. But we're making this thing up that he's intending to kill us. Because we hate him, so we're getting into this thing and ascribing to him all of these motivations. Why do we hate him? Rashi continues. Haitza osay lesina haisa. When he took us out from Mitzrayim, it's because he hated us. And Rashi doesn't say simply because he came to deliver us in the hands of the Amairi. Rashi explains. Mashal lemelech basar v'adam. It would be compared to a king, a human king. Shehayu leshnei banim. He had two children. V'yesh leshtei sadeis. And he had two fields. Achas shel shakya v'achas shel bal. One of the fields was shel shakya, which is a field which is lush, which doesn't require, which doesn't get dry, which is well irrigated and taken care of. And one of them is shel bal. A field of bal is a term which is used, a Mishnaic term which is used to describe a field that if you don't work and you don't water it and you don't irrigate it, nothing's going to happen. L'mishu ayev, nice and shel shakya. L'mishu seinu, nice and shel bal. The one who he loves, he gives the one which is taken care of easily, which is easily watered. The one that he doesn't like, he gives the one that's hard work, that he has to go and make sure that it's taken care of. Says, concludes Rashi, Eretz Mitzrayim shel shakyahu. Egypt was that lush land. Egypt was fertile. Why shenilus eilo mashkaisa? Because Eretz Mitzrayim had the Nile River, which rises up and fills the irrigation ditches of the land and waters it. Eretz Mitzrayim was, for that reason, always the most fertile area in the region, where they went when they had famine. Eretz Canaan shel bal. But Canaan was not that way. Canaan needed work, needed to be watered. Vayitzianu mimitzrayim loses lanu es Eretz Canaan. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to give us Canaan. Does that sound like He likes us? He took us from a land with all of that great fertility, and He put us in Canaan. Why would He do that? Why didn't He just, you know, let us conquer Mitzrayim? You know, He wants that we didn't. Maybe we didn't want to stay in Mitzrayim in slavery and everything else. But let us have Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim. You know, in Parshas Korach a few weeks ago, it was referred to as an Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash, a land which was flowing with milk and honey. Mitzrayim too, not just Eretz Yisrael. So evidently, derived the Jewish people, if Hashem's taking us from the great land of Mitzrayim to the hard land of Canaan, He doesn't like us. And on top of that, we have all these tremendous challenges militarily in order to be able to take it over. But here Rashi puts this in. It's interesting Rashi puts it in. One could have said, without it, He doesn't like us because He's taking us here against this formidable enemy. Why do He have to come up with this thing? Well, so some would say, the reason why He doesn't say that is because if it was just the enemy, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody knew, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already defeated some pretty significant enemies that rose up against the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So why would you think that in this case it would be different? So just find something here that's more intrinsic to the switch from Eretz Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan that the Jewish people were uncomfortable with. But kol oizem kasheves, anybody who's listening to this Rashi and will recall what we're going to read in Mi'eretz Hashem in next week's Parsha, or anyone who remembers this Rashi when it comes to the next week's Parsha, will notice that what Rashi is bringing out here is something specific to Eretz Yisrael. And I know many of you are noting this and thinking of this, because in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Ekev, in 2 weeks' Parsha, at the end of the Parsha, the Torah distinguishes and says, "Ki'oret asher atav ashama l'rishta," the land which you are coming to, it's not like Eretz Mitzrayim. And it makes exactly this distinction, which Rashi is making here. It makes the distinction and says, Eretz Mitzrayim is asher tizra ezaracha v'ishkisa v'raglucha k'gan hayorek. You'll plant your seeds and you'll be able to water it easily, like a vegetable garden. But the land that you are coming to, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Horim of the Kais, it's a land of mountains, and Limtara Shamayim Tishtemoyim. It's dependent on the rainwaters which come from the heavens. It's dependent on Hashem Yisbarach. The very difference which Rashi here is saying, the Jewish people looked at this, and as a result of that they said, Hashem must hate us. He's taking us from a land which is watered this way to a land which is watered that way with so much greater difficulty. Hashem must hate us. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out. Moshe Rabbeinu brings out to the Jewish people. I want you to know, Eretz Mitzrayim is not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has this unique quality. This is the point. Except we can say it B'shevach Eretz Yisrael, as part of the praise of Eretz Yisrael, or one could say it as the genus of Eretz Yisrael, as a negative quality of Eretz Yisrael. You could take this very point and say Hashem hates you, or you could take this very same point and say Hashem loves you, that's why he's giving this to you. That's how it ends there. Eretz asher Hashem alekecha deiresh esa. It's the land which Hashem is concerned with. He's involved with it. Tamid einei Hashem alekecha bo. Hashem's eyes are on it constantly from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That is a description of Hashem's love of the land and the love of the people he's giving the land. And here it's the hatred which Hashem has for us. How does it work? So what I'm going to tell you, you already know. It's a simple, straightforward idea here. It's a basic, so to speak, psychology of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, of all people, of all people. And I want to bring it to you here as an example, classic parallel which we find in the Gemara. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Me'Avod Barai.
Amen.
Shalu Talmid of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. This is a Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The students of Rav Shimon Yochai asked him, "Mifnei ma lo yored lem Yisrael mon pamachas b'shana? Why did the Jewish people not have an annual delivery of mon?" The Jewish people were in the desert. They had food, mon. They didn't have to go up and down the aisles of the supermarket deciding which flavor of Tabasco sauce they would have, right? They just had mon. So why did the mon have to fall for them every single day, with the exception of Shabbos? Why didn't it come in annual deliveries or in monthly deliveries? Omar Lohem, he said to them, Emshalachemoshal Lamuad Over Daima. I want to give you an example to show what this is like. Lamelech Basar Vadam, Shieshle Ben Echad. A king had an only child. Hosaklaim is a Naisaf Pamachas Bashana, and he gave him an annual allowance. Omad Vilohaya Makpabufneav Pamachas Bashana. And he would come back and visit his father once a year, mm-hmm. when the money ran out. So what happened? So Amar Upasak Mazainaisa B'chol Yahim. When he came back, right, he had put last year, he sent his child off to school. He put $10,000 in his account. He gave him a card, right, a withdrawal card and a debit card. And the child, Baruch Hashem, he spent it well. And, called Pesach. And then towards the end of the year, he calls, Dad, money's running out, juice it up a little bit, hope everybody's okay. His father says, sure, I'll take care of it. And he goes, he puts money in the bank, and the son goes the next day to the bank with the debit card and puts in the debit card, rubbing his hands together. And he sees his father put in $30 in the bank account. So he gets on the phone and he says, what's going on, Dad? So he says, his father says to him, you called 2 days in a row. It's working. He says, Omad upasak mezeinaisa b'choyem v'hemakul p'ni aviv kolyayim. He decided to give him a daily allowance and he would come and speak to his father every day. Af Yisrael mishiyesh le arba v'chamisha bonim hayadayg v'aymer shema le yered l'mon l'mochar. He says, imagine the people in the Midbar, people in the desert. Maybe they had 4 or 5 children, says the Gemara. And they would go to sleep at night and there was nothing. They had no food. They had no food because they had no mon. V'nimtza Nimtzu kulan meisim barav. Oy, they can all die of hunger. Nimtzu kulan chadnas lim lavim shabashamayim. So they all would daven very sincerely, Marav. It's like Yom Kippur. This, in fact, I always like when I repeat this Gemara, I always point out that this Gemara is in Maseches Yuma, which is in the Perek about Yom Kippur. Everybody davens better on Yom Kippur than they davened this morning. I mean, almost everybody. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do conjure up the image of Hashem sitting on a seat of judgment and deciding what our life is going to be like for the next year. So we take that pretty seriously. And we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we can really picture it and see it and believe it. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu intently. But then, today, we don't have that. So we're a little bit more easygoing about the whole thing. But imagine what it was in the Midbar. In the Midbar, every night was Yom Kippur. Every night. They had no food. And they had to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send them something. They had to anticipate and hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send them something the next day. Every night was Yom Kippur. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. That's why Hashem gave us the mon once a day instead of once a year. The king loved his son, didn't he? He really loved his son. He wanted to see his son every day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. Hashem yearns the prayers of the righteous. He yearns the prayers of all of us, of all of Klal Yisrael. But the only way he gets them is if we need something, if we're dependent upon him, and we have to turn to him. So he loves us. And he wants to have a connection with us. And the only way he can have a connection with us is if he holds back. And he gives us a land like Eretz Yisrael, where the land doesn't have built into its systems that the water will just be there, day in, day out, year in, year out. In Eretz Yisrael, people still pray for rain. It's ending, by the way. Just if you're worried about it, don't worry. Soon it'll be over. Because God bless us, right? These Jewish people, they're so smart, right? We figured out this desalinization thing. And within a year or a year and a half, they say that they won't have to take a drop of water from the Kinneret. We won't need rain anymore.
Wow.
God, thanks, but no thanks. Who knows? Who knows? Even already now people say, what are you davening for rain so hard in Eretz Yisrael? When we make fasts, everybody knows they'll be able to get food from other places and they'll figure something out one way or the other. Mm-hmm. We don't need the Rabbi Hashem so much. Right? We've gotten independent. Anech de getog. But the in the day to day, that's what we have, and we say so. We like it. We like that connection to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When the Imores, when the matriarchs, when they were Akoros, when they were struggling to be able to have a child, and they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem made them Akoros because HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned to hear their tefillos, yearned for that firm and strong connection. Did they love it? Do we love it? Not exactly. Not exactly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Mitzrayim in a land, put the Mitzrayim in a land of Mitzrayim, in a land where they could be independent, they could be on their own. And he put Klal Yisrael in a land where he wouldn't allow us to be independent, where the apron strings were very short, where he would keep us close, where we would yearn for him and need his help. That's the difference. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's the difference. That's why I'm putting you in this land. And I'm putting you there because I want to be connected to you. I want to be involved with you. I want you to turn to me, and I want to be able to turn to you. But Klal Yisrael looked at that same situation, and they said, you know, he gave the Mitzrim $10,000 in their bank account at the beginning of the year, and he gave us 30. He's holding us so tightly, so close. This is the Besinas Hashem Aisano. And the Sinas Hashem is the Sina that one can have towards one who upon whom they are dependent. Someone once said that he would really like to do more for this other person, but he doesn't want them to hate him. There's such a thing as giving, creating a reaction in the recipient, that the recipient feels shrunk, constrained, limited. Leave me alone. Let me have my own thing. The Netziv of Alojin famously wrote about this in his Akdama, his Sefer Bamidbar, as the challenge of the Jewish people in the Midbar. The challenge of the Cher HaMeraglim. The Midbar was great, wasn't it? Everything was taken care of. We were immune to enemies because we had the Anani HaKovo that protected us. Our every physical need was taken care of. But did we ever complain so much as we complained in the Midbar? Right? I mean, we probably did. But we complained a whole lot in the Midbar. Why do we complain? Why were we bristling at this wonderful, wonderful situation where everything was taken care of? We were bristling because if Hashem would not take care of something for a second, we would be hopelessly lost. You can't survive in the Midbar because there's no food. You can't survive in the Midbar because there's no water. You can't survive in the Midbar because of the elements. If Hashem didn't provide them with the food, miraculously, if He didn't provide them with the water, miraculously, if He didn't provide them with the shelter, miraculously, we would not have been able to make it. And so Hashem was taking care of us so completely that we had nothing of our own. Mm-hmm. And you could love it, and you could hate it. Why did we hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I asked you before. Rashi says, you said Hashem hated you. Hashem really hates you. Right? No. Hashem doesn't hate you. But you hate Hashem, so you projected onto Him that He hates you. Right? So that's equally troubling. Why would we hate Hashem? Based on what would we hate Hashem? I understand that somebody's not passionately in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Not everything's perfect. If anything, the Jewish people would have had it more. But we hated Hashem. We hated Hashem because Hashem limited us. Because He was so completely there to the point where we couldn't do anything without Him that it drove us crazy. That is something someone can hate. The tahlich, the process here, kasha yisra yishas b'nai, to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Klal Yisrael, carrying us like a father carries a child through all of our travels, and to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that regard, that was something which we wouldn't do, which we couldn't do. B'sinas Hashem Eisanu, He's going to keep carrying us. So it becomes this very convoluted psychology that we develop. On the one hand, we say, we don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be limiting us so much and taking care of everything for us. We can't stand it. So we turn around and we say, so we can't stand what this is doing, even though Hashem is doing it out of love, because it's limiting us so much or it makes us so dependent. So we turn around and say, you know what, Hashem must hate us. And that's why He's trying to deprive us. That's why He's trying to hold it back from us. And see, He's going to send us now onto this land of the Amori, and He's going to pull out the rung from under us, and He's going to say, ha-ha, right, see, now you can't beat these Amori. You're coming to this land where you don't have a chance to fight on your own. You're going to need Me, and I'm not necessarily going to be there for you. That was the complicated picture which Klal Yisrael, which we constructed in our mind around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'sinas Hashem Eisanu Eitzonu Meretz Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's b'chiya shel chinam. You're crying over nothing. You're crying over a hatred. You're crying over the fact that I'm going to pull out. I'm not going to help you. I want to help you. I want to be there with you. I want to take care of you. But we don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu close. And that's the funny part. The funny part is that when we succeed and we push back and we make it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't so close, He's still so close. Hashem may not have to be Dairesh Aysa Tamid. Hashem may not have to be involved bringing a miracle every single day. We may live under the guise of Teva, under the guise of nature, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could seemingly push the automatic pilot button and have things go by themselves. But we're still completely and totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is that in the one situation, we're completely and totally dependent upon Him, but we don't notice Him, and He doesn't notice us, because we don't call to Him, we don't speak to Him, not with intensity. And in the other situation, we're completely dependent on Him, but He pays attention to us, and we pay attention to Him. That's it. In our view of the world, there's not much that changes between Golus and Geula in terms of whether Hashem's in the world or He's not in the world. The question is whether Hashem is Megal upon Him or Master upon Him. Whether Hashem's face is visible, and therefore we recognize Hashem and we speak to Him and He, so to speak, speaks to us. Or whether Hashem is Master upon Him, whether He hides His face. And so we're still dependent on Him, but He's not speaking to Him, to us, and we're not speaking to Him. That's where the differences lie. And the Jew, therefore, has to turn. We have to turn from seeing Hashem's desire to be in our lives in an active way, to see that from being a suffocating constraint, to instead being a liberating opportunity to be actively, openly engaged with the One in whose hands we truly are, always. That's what it is. That's Av. That's Menachem Av. That's what the goal of this month is. And that's the difference between Golus and Geula. It's the difference between Golus and Geula. We'll read Mir Hashem later in Sefer Dvarim, where it describes how, you know, the Bnei Yisrael, when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we come to these cities, we'll inhabit them, we'll live in them, and we'll reach a point where we'll say, Kaychi v'aitzem yodi asali asachayel hazeh. This we have by virtue of our own power, by the strength of our hand. We won't recall that we're only there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us there. We're only there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, brought us in miraculously. And we have this revisionist history where we forget about how we got into Eretz Yisrael and don't see ourselves as being there in the hand because of the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so maybe you should leave. Maybe you should go in to the Golos if you're going to be on your own. The Eretz Yisrael, the Geula, is a place to see, to face, to recognize, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of our chiyus, as the active and real source of our lives. And everything which we have, on Tisha B'Av, we almost don't daven in the morning. We do daven. We daven like any other day, sort of. We go through the motions of davening like other days. But we daven muted. We daven quietly. We daven, you know, men don't wear talis and tefillin when we daven. We don't say the tefillah of Tisha B'Av, which it would seem perfectly logical that we should say it all of Tisha B'Av. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu Esaveli Tzion Esaveli Yerushalayim. Console Hashem, the mourners of Tzion, the mourners of Yerushalayim. In the bracha of the Yerushalayim, Mircha Berachmin Toshuv, we should say the special tefillah of Tisha B'Av. So there's all kinds of discussions about why we don't do the things that we don't do. And one basic approach, very significant approach, is that in the morning of Tisha B'Av, we sit on the ground, and we are, in a sense, kemesei muta lefanav, like as if, heaven forbid, the relative over which we are grieving is lying in front of us. And if that's the case, an aina, a person in such a situation, doesn't put on tefillin. A person in such a situation, you can't console. You can't say, Nachem, console them. Because what does the Mishnah teach us in Pirkei Avos? They don't try to console the mourner when the dead is lying in front of them. You wait till it's put away, buried, a little bit later, a little bit of having it behind them, and then you could start to console. That's one way. But another aspect of it is that, yes, in the morning it's more intense. And in the morning, in the depths of the golus of the morning, in the depths of the sense of churban in the morning, you can't talk to Hashem. Gam ki ezak vashaveya sosam tfilosi. It's a pasuk b'lein on Tisha B'Av. Even as I cry and I pray, He has blocked my tefillas. Sakosi be'anon loch me'avar tefillah. I put a cloud cover as a barrier for the tefillas, for the prayers coming through. Look at this. Eretz Yisrael is the land of tefillah. Eretz Yisrael is the land where you don't get rain without the involvement of Hashem. And rain doesn't come. I go back to Bereshis, Perek Beis. Right? Rain didn't come on the face of the earth until Adam HaRishon prayed for it. When we daven Shemone Esrei in the second bracha, which speaks about the strength of Hashem as an introduction to prayer, we say, "Mashivaruach Uverit Hagesem," Hashem brings the rain. Prayer is the natural thing. We pray from earth to heaven, and Hashem brings the rain from the heaven to earth. That's the way it would work. That's the way it would be expected to work. That's what it is, the open connection between the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midbar, Eretz Yisrael. Like we said, I want them to be Mekabel Panai, B'chol Yoyim. I want them to greet me, to see me, to speak to me every day. And on Tisha B'Av, we speak about a phase in our existence where we can call and not get an answer. Where it's as if there's a block that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even hear what we're saying. It's so terrible. Like, we don't even, you're saying, how could you say such a thing? Doesn't Hashem listen to our tefillos all the time? Why would we daven now if we are still in this state of Sakesi Bon Allah Gamki Azak Vashaveya Sasam Tfilosi? So we daven because we know that in all of the difficulty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, that's exactly what he wants us to do. Just like he did with the Akaris, and when we starve for Geula, it's so that we should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so that in Mia Nidacha Chalbisei HaShamayim, wherever it is, wherever we are, we will turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we'll pray to him. But we're praying to him so that he should hear us from a matzav, from a situation where the nature of it is that he says, I'm not listening to you. That's golus. That's churban. And that's what we're supposed to feel to a certain degree on Tisha B'Av. So we hardly daven. We daven quietly. We do what we need to do, what we do every day. But we don't spend the time davening. Kinnis isn't tefillas. Kinnis isn't davening. Kinnis is mourning. Kinnis is recalling very difficult things. It's not tefillah. There's never a time where we just daven sitting on the floor. When you daven and you stand before Hashem, what do? We are aimed b'fnei Hashem in this vow. When you sit on the floor, it's because it's the farthest thing away. The farthest thing away. So the question is, are we able to somehow take this point of contention, which is the praise of Eretz Yisrael, but to which the Jewish people look to with such resentment that we construed it as a hatred of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us? Can we adjust our view? Can we say that anything which pronounces for us the fact that we live completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu is welcome? Because it cues us into reality. It storms the phone line between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and makes it come through loud and clear. We know that he has to hear us. We know that we have to speak to him. Or is it Bisinas Hashem HaSana? It's not a simple thing that I'm talking about. But I think it's the crux of the matter. Here, says Rashi, we sin in the Meraglim because we hated the great quality of Eretz Yisrael. It's not that we liked the good stuff, but we said, you know, but we'd like it if it was a little less rocky. Mm-hmm. This is the quality of Eretz Yisrael. We hated the quality of Eretz Yisrael. The best of Eretz Yisrael, that's what we hated. The reminder of connection and dependence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's tricky, because when we find ourselves in Golus, far away and needing so many things, we sense sometimes that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not giving anything to us. Hashem is not hearing our tefillos. Hashem's removed himself from our lives. And the avoda, the task, is to turn it around from saying, Al ki ein elokai bekirbi mitzoni arayis ha'ela, from saying, because God isn't with me, I have all this difficulty, and saying, oh, yo, God isn't with me, to saying that Hashem is with me, watching me, holding back because he's waiting for me, because he wants the connection. He wants the connection. There are things in life, as the Jewish people, that we have a choice about, and there are things that we have no choice about. We have no choice that we have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether we like it or not, we have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us as his people. We agreed once upon a time. He took us as his people. We took him as our God. And it's not breakable. There's no sefer krisus. There's nothing that can break the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's there, it's permanent, it's forever. So what do we have a choice about? The choice is whether we welcome it or whether we view it as a limitation. If it's with our parents, so sometimes we also feel suffocated by their taking care of us. But we say, when I turn 18, you know, or whatever it is, you know, something like that, right? Then we're going to be able to go and feign independence. Mm-hmm. We can't. We never turn 18 on the Rabbeinu Shalom. We never do. So the question is whether we welcome it, whether we welcome the connection, or whether we don't. The question is whether we can recognize and appreciate the connection when we have it, or heaven forbid, be forced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to suffer, heaven forbid, all kinds of withdrawals to the point where we have to, and we're forced to turn around and say, we can only turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no other possibility, there's no other choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's one thing we do know, standing back from this pasuk, standing back from these emotions and feelings expressed in this pasuk, is that Ava Rabba Avtonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has loved us a great love, Avas Olam Deis Yisrael Amcha Havta, an eternal love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people. If there's one thing that we know, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoicher Chaz De'ovei Sumei V'Goyel Ibnei V'Neim L'man Shumei B'Yava. He remembers the goodness and the love of the connection which he had with our Avos, and will bring a Redeemer to us Ba'ava, with love. Anything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with us to forge a connection, it's because he loves and wants to have a connection with us. He loves us and wants us to have a connection with him. We should have the ability, the strength to realize it and to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to welcome the opportunities to be able to recognize our dependence on him, that everything that happens to us, whether visibly through his hand or not visibly through his hand, he's there all the time, and embrace that and accept that and be zeichen that way, Mirz Hashem, to see the tears of Av turned into the celebration of Av, to the celebration of a father in heaven who shows his love to his children and carries us. Kasher Yisa Ishas Benoi Ad Boyeno El Hamokim Hahu, until we come to that place.